Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
Duncan, I think you have something. Some of us, we are dear friends with Loretta and Scott Nelson. Why don't you come on up, Duncan? We got an email from Red, and so Duncan was going to read that for us.
Hi. You all remember, if you were here 2 weeks ago, we prayed. We prayed for Red. And anyway, this is a follow-up email to let us know how she's doing and everything and what's going on. And it's really sweet. And so bear with me as I read this. Anyway, she says, "Thank you for the opportunity to share what God has been doing. This is a very much a Body of Christ event. This has been and continues to be the Bride of Christ, His church. As many of you know, I was actually stricken 2 weeks ago with the Miller-Fisher variant of," and she phonetically spells this out for me, which is really nice, Guillain-Barré syndrome. And that is to say, my immune system was attacking the myelin sheath around my nerves. It happens after a prolonged respiratory illness, and it happens rarely in about 1 in 200,000. I lost the use of my eyes. I couldn't walk without assistance. My deep tendon reflexes were gone, and my hands and feet were numb. My husband put out the word of my situation to our extended brothers and sisters in Christ for prayer. People prepared meals for me and my family. I was hospitalized for a week while receiving intravenous immunoglobulins. I maintained a positive attitude and even forced myself to exercise from my bed. The nurses said they never seen anyone do that before, and it made them laugh. I taught several nurses some exercises they could do at home to improve their core, and I prayed for others in the hospital. That's Red. You're right. That is Red. By the last day in the hospital, I was able to see if I looked straight ahead. Any eye movement caused pain, nausea, and double vision. I needed a walker to be able to walk because my feet felt like blocks of wood. Each day, my coordination improved, and over the next 3 days after returning home, my eyesight was completely restored. Praise God. I returned to work part-time last week, Monday. On Monday, I had to use a walker to get around campus and pretty much stayed in my classroom. By Tuesday, I was able to walk without a walker. Wednesday, I was able to climb stairs from the first to the second floor numerous times without holding on to the rail. I was teaching an afternoon class Wednesday, and my students were sleepy because of the rainy weather. They're in Hawaii, by the way, if you didn't know that, and hopefully we'll see them here this summer. I had them stand up, and I reached my arms out to the side and then stood on my right foot and touched my right hand to my left foot. I repeated this on the left side. The students were following me, and I made them go faster and faster until we were doing a jig. Inside, I was praising God because my balance and coordination were completely restored, even though my feet were still numb. As I started this exercise, I thought to myself, "What am I doing? I'm going to fall." Then I realized I was dancing and knew I was a living miracle of God. Amen. The night before all of this started, I was on my deck praising God, and I heard him audibly say, "I want you to just be in me." At the time, I wasn't sure what he meant. I found out the next morning when I had no muscle control at all and my body was numb from head to toe. During this event, I learned to rest and trust in him fully. I prayed continuously. At one point, I said, "God, may all the prayers of the saints that have my name on them come to me now. Jehovah Rapha, my Lord, who heals me, heal me now." I felt his power come over me in a rush as the prayers you have all prayed for me came and took effect in the heavens and in my body. It is because of all of you and your prayers and my healing is happening as quickly as it is. I'm just like, this is so great. What the statistics say, takes 6 months to a year to heal is happening in days for me. God told me I have a joyful and indomitable spirit. Amen. In Christ, all things are possible, and I will allow nothing to have control over my spirit but God Almighty. Amen. I pray that all of you will have the joy of the Lord and know His peace in your life. Let your spirit soar with Him and yoke yourself to no man but to God Himself. For in Him is the power and the glory forever. He is able to intercede on our behalf by way of the prayers of the saints. Blessings to each and every one of you. I cannot thank you enough. Scott and I send our love. Amen. Amen.
Let's join together in praying for Red. Okay, why don't you go ahead? Let's just pray out a chorus. You can pray all out loud at the same time. It's all good. So let's just do that now. Amen. Phyllis, you know anything about the goodness of Jesus? You know about the goodness of Jesus, don't you? Here you are. You've got this big boot on your foot and a cast. Oh, I see it right there. I signed you right there. There it is. She's going to let you sign her cast later. She fell on some ice and had a severe break. You know about this, right? And you have just been such a bright light to us as a fellowship. And we just want to bless. Thank you. We just want to bless you. Continued healing and strength, that your bones would just fuse together with full strength, full mobility, that there would be no residual effects from this injury whatsoever in Jesus' name, and that you would experience the goodness of God in increasing measures. I just want to bless your sunset years, that you would experience the glory of the Lord like you have only dreamed right now up to this point, that God would release to you the fullness of His presence, that God would release your tongue to speak the testimony of Jesus. You do, I know it, and I just want to release you, and I just want to bless you. You are so alive in Jesus, and you're such a gift to us as a fellowship. And I'm going to see you dance. Michael, I had a thought about you just for a minute here. I noticed your shirt. It's very handsome, and I was looking at it, and I was trying to figure out what that was, and then it dawned on me, it's a microphone like Elvis Presley used to sing into, right? And I was thinking, that's a prophetic word right there for you. You had it in your instincts to get that shirt, or someone gave it to you. So someone or you yourself knew instinctively that for you to wear that would be something that would be part of your identity. The Lord speaks to your heart, and you amplify with your mouth the message of Jesus. And I just want to declare that over you, that you are a messenger and God's speaking to your heart. And the things that God says to your heart are worthy of being heard. Like people really, they not only need to hear what Jesus is saying to you, but I think they want it. Like we want to hear what Jesus is saying to you. The people in your life, your family members, your kids, whatever, you know, everybody around in your sphere, they can benefit from the message that you have to share based on what Jesus is speaking to your heart. So I want to bless you with that. That just came to me as we were in some time of worship. That's one of the reasons why I like this circle here, because we can, you know, for some of us it's kind of awkward, like, oh, they're looking at me. Good thing, because I want you to be seen. You're very welcome. Thank you. I am blessed. Amen. Can I pray for you on that? Yeah. So thank you, God, for Michael. I just thank you for who he is in you. And I just thank you for how you speak to this man, how you have been speaking to him since he was a little boy. And I just thank you that you are awakening parts of his heart to hear you more clearly now than ever before. And I just thank you that he has the ability to take what you're saying to him and articulate it to the people in his sphere, the people that are important to him, the people that you've put in his heart. And I thank you that your words will not go out void, that they will accomplish what you have set for them to accomplish. So I thank you that Michael is a messenger, and I just bless you as that. In Jesus' name, amen. You bet. Mm-hmm. We're having fun this morning. I've only got one thing I want to do, actually a couple of things. I want to read a passage of scripture here. It's out of 2 Corinthians 3. And then I'm going to share what the Lord had me kind of echo back to you from his heart. And then I'm going to lead you in a time of connecting with Jesus. And so the passage that I want to read, it's 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. You are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are, can you make this personal now, you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. Let's go down to verse 12. Actually, no, let's go to verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are adequate in ourselves considering anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of the new promise or the new covenant, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. There's a dog barking in this building. I was just getting the dramatic read on, you know. I was just like, yes, and the inflections were just right, and the pauses were just perfect, and then the dog started barking. Not with the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives what? Life. The Spirit gives life. That's verse 12. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. We're not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel will not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened until this day at the reading of the Old Covenant. The same veil remains unlifted because the veil is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, whenever a person turns to Jesus, for the first time or the 1,000th time, whenever a person turns to Jesus, the veil is taken away. Whatever filter, whatever distorted view, whatever limitation of understanding, that veil can be taken away when we come to Jesus. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But those of us who have turned to Jesus, we have unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Oh, what does that mean? That means that when you look at your life, you can see the glory of the Lord. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Some of you would argue and say, the Lord would not share his glory with another. And I would say, you're not another. You're his body. You're being transformed into the same image. The image of who? The image of Jesus. The image of this glorious Jesus from glory to glory, which means it is a process, a progression, a moving forward. There was a glory yesterday, and there's going to be a glory tomorrow, and it's going to be even brighter and more beautiful. This glory is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So this Spirit that's in your heart brings glory to the world around you through you. And so when I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share this morning, I wrote it down. And I wrote it in quotes, but I'm just going to offer it to you. you search it out. This is what I believe the Lord said. It's just a couple of paragraphs here. He says, I really, really, he repeated that. I really, really, I love it how he talks to me because it's like we're just having this conversation. I really, really want to show myself to each person here this morning. I'm able to remove the veil. In fact, I did it when I went to the cross. The veil has been removed, torn from top to bottom. And I want to clear the filters that distorts people's understanding of who I am and even how people see themselves. Tell them that I want them to cooperate with me in this. Tell them that the filters they're putting in front of their faces each day are limiting their ability to perceive me as I reveal myself to them. Any external screen, this is the way he gave it to me, any external screen has both the potential to teach, entertain, connect, and it has the ability to isolate, distort, and distract our minds from me, Jesus is saying. I really want to reveal myself to you. So put down your phones, your iPads, turn off your computers and your televisions for a bit each day and let me, and this was his quote inside of the quote, let me tell a vision. You like that, don't you? Let me entertain you. Let me show you. Let me teach you. Your sanctified imaginations are the gateway for my spirit to relate to you. Your sanctified imaginations are the gateway for my spirit to relate to you. If it weren't true, you wouldn't be so fascinated by what this world is presenting to you. I want to awaken your spiritual gifts to see and to know who I am and what I'm doing in your life. I'm going to amaze you. Well, isn't that something? So what I'd like to do over the next few minutes here is something that I've done before. It's something that I discovered more specifically this last September. And we've done it here on a couple of occasions, and that is to, I want to lead you into a safe place. I want to lead you into a safe place where you can encounter Jesus. And the reason why I want to do that here today is because I don't just want to talk about it and send you on your way and hope that you encounter Jesus this week. I want us to encounter Jesus here now. Let it become the earmark for what Jesus has just invited us into. All right? And so some of you, you're new to this, and so let me just explain it for you a little bit. I do believe that what Jesus is saying here about our sanctified imaginations is true. Otherwise, it would not read in the scriptures that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the human heart has not imagined all that God has for them, which implies that there are things that you have not imagined yet that God wants to reveal to you. Nor would the apostolic prayer of Paul read like this: I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you can know God. So there is a place for the eyes of our heart, for our imagination to be enlightened so that we can know God more intimately. It's one thing to talk about God. It's one thing to talk about Jesus. It's one thing to have all of these concepts and ideals and activate them in the place of our reason. Great. And to connect with this place of our internal world with Jesus is honestly, in my opinion, without that combination of the reasoning capacities and the experiential knowing, we will be limited in our ability to really connect with and know Jesus. And also we'll be limited in our ability to receive from him everything that he wants to say and show and do and be in our lives. So no more talking about it. Let's just go ahead and position ourselves to receive. A lot of times people, they feel most comfortable with kind of both feet on the floor and just their hands in their lap with their palms up like it's time to receive. A lot of people like to close their eyes and just take a deep breath. Just keep that rhythm of breathing. Some people, like myself, I like to have a bit of a, just a reminder, like out with fear, in with the presence of Jesus. And you might want to just say something along those lines in your mind as you're breathing out, as you're inhaling, breathing in deeply. And I'm going to pray for us. And I really like to do this as well, and I encourage this whenever you find time this week to put the screens down and to connect. Pray that the space that you're in would be consecrated unto the Lord. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for your presence here. And I declare that this space is consecrated unto you. It's set apart. And I ask now that you would release your ministering angels to stand as an honor guard around this place and around each person in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that your presence would displace any hint of darkness, no shadows. Thank you, Lord, that you're the light of the world and you come to illuminate. And I thank you, Lord, that with that, you stand as a wall of separation between us and any voice of dishonesty, any discouragement, any diminishment now in Jesus' name. And I pray for your spirit to reveal and to speak and to show. Now, Lord, I ask you, would you lead each one of us into a safe place? I'm going to coach you as we do this. Some of you, it's not going to distract you. You go ahead and connect with the safe place. If you begin to feel something, if scripture starts to drop in on your heart, if a song starts to play in your mind and your spirit, if you have vision of a place, then just go with it and really pay attention to the details. Others of us, this might be so new that it's hard for us to connect with this idea of a safe place. So what I encourage you to do is in your actual memory, if you remember having a place, maybe it was in your childhood or a vacation or sometime in your life where you really felt secure and safe, then connect with that memory. You don't have to make up something new. The Lord may want to use that memory as an on-ramp to experiencing his presence now. So go ahead and let's take some time to enter into that safe place. Take note, if you're seeing pictures in your mind, what's going on around you? If you're on grass, can you feel the grass? Can you hear sounds? Can you smell something? Take note of your feelings. What do you feel in this place? Is Jesus there with you? He may not be yet. If he's not, go ahead and ask him to enter into your safe place with you. Take note of where he's at. Can you look? Can you see his eyes? Can you look at him intently? Notice his proximity to you. does he smell like? Now ask Jesus if he is there. If he wants you to stay in that place and just enjoy his presence, or is there something that he wants to say to you or show you? It's okay either way. Jesus, thank you for inviting us in to this place with you. And for my friends who may not have entered into a place with you, I want to bless you in your process of discovering that safe place with Jesus this week. For each one of us, I want to pray that the Lord would seal by his Spirit the space that he's opened up for you. That it would be hidden in Christ. That it would be your place with him. And I just want to coach you that it may change this week as you go to safe place with Jesus. He may want to take you places that may seem trivial or even scary or uncertain. My encouragement to you is to always come back to safe place, this type of place that you're in with Jesus now, and seal what Jesus is doing by his Spirit before you disengage. Before you enter into the busyness of your world, you're touching something very real that is spiritual. And you want to protect it in a way like the scripture would say, guard your heart, for from it flows the wellspring of life. Some of you are. It's a word that I discovered some years ago. I call it revelating. It's where you're experiencing things in Jesus in some very detailed and some very specific and intense ways. Intense only in the sense that it's deep. And I want to honor that place that you're in. You do not have to pull out of it. You can stay in that space here today as long as you want. It's okay. Good. Well, some of you are going to start lifting up and out. that's okay. Let me just pray this blessing over each one of us. I bless your hearts. I bless your heart to receive everything that Jesus has for you this week. I bless your heart as Jesus takes his hands and embraces your heart and lifts your heart up. I bless you to experience all the goodness of God. I bless you to know who he is. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I just have one thought here. George, you're looking at me like you got something you want to say. Or you... All right, we'll indulge you.
I came in during Revelation song. And I was standing there feeling like the Lord was stirring way down deep. And have you ever felt like you were numb on your edges? Your feelings were just kind of numb on your edges? I was feeling my feelings were numb on the edges, and the Lord was stirring to fill that up. And I don't think there's any coincidence with Red's testimony and the thoughts that kept on coming through until right now. And the telephone call that I just got. So during the worship, the numbness disappeared. Now, he came to give us life abundant. And I was thinking about, well, you know the story about how numbness is like a symptom of what leprosy is like. You know, leprosy, it dulls the nerve endings. And then there's all kinds of effects that happen because of that. You get injured, you don't even know you're injured, and things start rotting off. And you know the story about the 10 lepers, that there were 10 lepers, and they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And he said, you're healed. And so probably like in accordance with the law, the 9 of them went off to show themselves to the priest that they'd been healed. But the healing was the arresting of the process. In other words, there's no more deterioration. But one guy came back. One guy came back, and he experienced what we were invited to experience this morning. He experienced worship. He fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? This guy isn't even a Jew. And he's here. And then he said to the man, which is what he's saying to us, your faith has made you whole. Everything's back. He's made us complete in him, made us whole in the presence. And that's what's happened with Red. I called her a while back when she was in the hospital, and she couldn't see and she couldn't walk. But you know what she was doing? She was praising the Lord. She wasn't just making it up. She was praising the Lord. She's encouraging me, who was just fine physically, to come into the same place she was. You that don't know Red, you should know that she, if you were going to go across all of us, there's only about one guy here that's as active as she is. Physically. Hikes faster, skis faster, does everything faster, dances faster. And to have that happen to her, and then to have this testimony, is an amazing miracle. It really is. But I believe that the Lord is saying that to all of us, though. Let him stir in us. Let him fill you. Let him awaken. Let him restore in his presence.
So can you pray that over us now?
Wow. Oh, Father, thank you for stirring in our hearts, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for letting us taste and touch your healing. And, Lord, we thank you for your invitation to come and worship you. God, let it be a lifestyle. Let it be our lives to worship you by your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.